So Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read just one verse, and then we're going to flick back to Genesis and read some verses from there. So it's verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And if you want to flick back to Genesis, we're just going to read part of Noah's story from Genesis. It's Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 8. So it's on page 9 of the Bibles, the Black Bibles. It says Genesis 6, starting in verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make for yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch, inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So we'll stop there. If you want to flick back to Hebrews, we'll be looking at this one verse in Hebrews 11. But let's pause to pray and ask for God's help as we look at this together. Father, we need your help as we look at your word. We pray that your spirit would be working in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Lord, as we hear your words, speak to us. Change us and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you remember a TV show called Fear Factor. Do you remember this show? Contestants were challenged with tasks that induced fear. They had to do activities and things that filled them with fear to gain points so that they could win the prize. I have a couple of pictures. Do you remember I said I was afraid of wasps? This was the bees challenge. This was the spider challenge. There was this show that was all about fear and how they reacted and to gain points to win the prize. Well, you might be asking, well, what has fear got to do with faith? What has fear got to do with faith? So like we've heard a little bit already this morning, Noah was a unique man in the world that he lived. People in Noah's day had turned their backs on God. They failed to recognize who God was. And instead, they lived for themselves. They lived for their own evil desires. The earth, we're told, was corrupt, It was full of violence. And this wasn't the world that God had intended. People did what they wanted and not what God wanted. But there was someone who was living in stark contrast to the world around them. His name was Noah. He was a shining light in his dark world. Not because he was a saint with a very bright halo, but because he knew God. He knew his place before a holy God, and he lived his life in response to that. God saw the wickedness in the world, so he stepped in. He promised this flood that would come. It would destroy the human race, all living creatures on earth, in judgment for their rebellion against him. But, verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. God provided a way for Noah to be saved, and Noah responded in holy fear. But maybe you're still asking, well, what has fear got to do with faith? Well, this sort of fear is maybe not what we had imagined it to be. Not this irrational fear or phobia like some of those pictures describe. Fear of bugs or insects. And this fear also isn't a terror of God. A terror that he's going to destroy us. This fear of God is not one that makes us run and hide. And it's not just reverence and awe. I think those words have a static or standing around sort of feel. This fear causes us to respond in those ways, but with an obedience to what God says. That we're actively obeying him, having come to know God and see who he is. So it's this kind of fear that sees who God is and responds with obedience. And Noah lived in holy fear. And holy fear knows its place before a holy God. This was how Noah lived. It wasn't that Noah was a perfect man and God decided to save him because he was so perfect. But God showed favor and grace to Noah, and Noah knew his place before a holy God. Noah knew that when God said he would send a flood to a dry and floodless land, that this was true. He believed him. He knew that God was God, and he was so powerful and mighty he needed to be listened to. He knew his place before a holy God. Not that Noah himself was holy, but he recognized that God was holy. And so he lived in response to that. Because we're told in Genesis that Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among the people of his time, and that he walked faithfully with God. He knew God. He walked with him. He knew his place before God. And that was to live in response to who God is. God warned him of what was to come. The judgment to come because of the people's sin. Because of this rebellion against God, this urge to do what God says we should not do. And Noah took God at his word. He knew his place before a holy God, and he responded. He accepted God's power and God's right to bring this flood to judge the earth. He had holy fear before a holy God. Is that the kind of response that we have towards God? That we recognize him for who he is? A holy God, that he's a powerful God, that he's able to do mighty acts. That's what's going on here in the story of Noah. Because sin could not continue to go unpunished. Do we know our place before a holy God? That he deserves to be listened to. That he deserves to be followed. that we're deserving of that kind of punishment because of our own rebellion. Holy fear knows its place before a holy God. It's a place of humility, recognizing who we are in light of a holy God. And holy fear obeys what God says. Holy fear doesn't just know its place before a holy God, but it responds with action. God said it, Noah did it. God warned Noah about the flood that was coming, and he gave him instructions to build an ark, this enormous boat, to save Noah and his family and all kinds of animals and birds. God said it, Noah did it. And he built an ark. He built it to save his family from this coming flood, because holy fear obeys what God says. God commanded Noah to build the ark, so he did it. And this was one big boat in a very dry part of town. The size of the ark is suggested to be about 1.5 football fields in length. I don't know if I could manage to run in one go from one end of a football field to the other, but this enormous size of a boat in a place where boats weren't built and used, in a place away from the sea or a need for boats. What must have people thought? Now, you might be surprised that there is no mention in the Bible of people's reactions to Noah. Whether they ignored Noah or made fun of him, maybe we assume, and probably rightly so, the skepticism with which Noah was faced, or the ridicule. But this was an immense project and must have just seemed foolish in the eyes of the world. But God said it, so Noah did it. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. I'm sure you're used to this kind of obedience, aren't you? You say it, the kids do it. It's very normal, isn't it? Or if you're not the one giving the instruction, you're used to obeying like this. Dad says, bed, you say, yay. Parent hasn't learned that one yet. But this obedience isn't natural or normal for us, is it? We tend not to obey like that. That's not our experience. That when we're told to do something, that we just do it. Noah's obedience is in response to a holy fear, recognizing God. This kind of obedience made me think of the army. Think of a lieutenant training new cadets on the marching field. The order is given, forward, march. And it's followed immediately. No questions. Absolute obedience. I had a gymnastics coach who was a bit like that. He required absolute obedience. I say jump. You say how high. But this sort of obedience is probably coming from that sort of terror. That sort of terror of repercussion if I don't obey. The fear of punishment. But Noah's fear was that holy fear because he saw who God was, he knew God, and he knew the power and might of God, and he knew I have to obey him. He walked with God. He obeyed God out of a loving relationship with him. We're told that Noah walked faithfully with God. He found favor in the eyes of God. So holy fear obeys what God says. Do we try to do this and that just to avoid punishment or repercussions from God? Do we obey so that we'll gain a better standing with God? We'll get in his good books? Or is our obedience fueled by a holy fear in who God is and what he's done? Because as we know our place before God, we'll respond rightly to God. We fear him by taking the things that he says to be true and doing them. When God speaks, we do it. But when God says it, do we do it? He tells us to believe in his Son Jesus, the King of Kings. Do we do it? He tells us to live a life of humility and sacrifice, just like Jesus did. But do we do it? He tells us to bring the good news to other people, the warning to others. Do we do it? So holy fear obeys what God says. Holy fear highlights the world's sin. I've lost a page. Found it. Holy fear highlights the world's sin. Noah's right response to God was to build an ark. And this ark was there for all to see. It was enormous. It was on display. It was on show for people to see. His faith response to God was a demonstration of what it meant to listen to God and to obey him. Exactly not what the people around him were doing. Noah highlighted the sin and rejection of God, of the people around him, as he responded in faith and obedience to God. There's this funny phrase in verse 7 that by his faith, he condemned the world. He condemned the world through this act of faith. The sight of the ark being built, a picture of his faith response to God, was a sign of God's coming judgment. And the people, by rejecting God's warning, they stood condemned. As one writer puts it, where faith is resisted or rejected, it leads to condemnation. Noah's faith was a witness to those around him, a testimony of the reality of God and of that coming judgment. And though rejecting, and through rejecting this faith, the people stood condemned. Holy fear highlights the world's sin. We were at camp in Castle Martyr last week, and I had a new torch that I was dying to use. There's not many places that torches really are necessary anymore because of the lights on our phones and things like that. But camp is one of those places where you have to have a torch. Anyway, one night, it was dark. We were heading to bed. The night was black. I turned on my torch, and I could see all of these fine droplets that were in the air. It wasn't raining. It was a bit damp, but it was this moisture that was in the air that couldn't be seen without the torch. As I turned it on, it was a really cool torch, because then I could see the whole beam of light going up. But you could see these little drops of moisture floating through the air. And it was the torch, as it was turned on, highlighted what I couldn't see before. The water floating in the air was highlighted by the torch. And as we express our faith in God around our friends and our family, we're going to highlight sin. The spotlight of faith will shine out from us, and the reality of God will be made known to people. The way that we respond to tragedy, or to loss, or to wealth and good times. We highlight to others their rejection of God. We show the reality of God with our response, but we highlight their rejection of him. The reality of the coming judgment will be made known as we respond in faith, and as we seek to warn others and call others to come to the Lord. We can be a positive presence in a situation. I don't know if you found that. As people become suddenly aware of the language that they're using, or of the stories that they tell, or even the actions that they take, our faith will draw attention to the sin around and point people to Jesus, the only one who can deal with that sin. Holy fear highlights the world's sin. Finally, holy fear is the path to righteousness. Look at the very last part of the verse. It says, by his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Holy fear is the path to righteousness. The right response to God is the path to a right standing before God and right living for God. Noah's holy fear led him to respond rightly in obedience to God and brought him into the inheritance of righteousness. He became an heir of righteousness. And the righteousness enjoyed by Noah was one of right standing, his status before God, his right standing, and of right living. As we thought about last week, it's impossible to please God without faith. So Noah was a man of faith in God, which brought him into that right standing before God and led to right living for him. But this righteousness is an inheritance, something that we inherit, not something that we earn, not something that we can work our way into. It's something that's been earned by someone else. Someone who is a far greater example of holy fear and obedience. Jesus of Nazareth. He humbled himself, giving up his rights as God to enter our world, submitting to his Father's will. And he obeyed his Father all the way to death, even death on a cross. This perfect humility and obedience is what opened up the way to righteousness. And Jesus offers that to us. So if we respond rightly to God with holy fear, that means faith in Christ. And when we respond like that, we too become heirs of righteousness. The righteousness that we received is the same that Noah received, this right standing before God, which leads to right living for him. We're put right before God. All charges, objections, accusations against us are dealt with. They're gone. And we receive a status of righteous, of perfect, of absolutely good, because we inherit what Jesus has done, his perfection. We have that for ourselves. This incredible privilege of inheriting what Jesus has done, and following from that status, God works in us a right living for him. His Spirit gets to work in us. He's helping us to walk faithfully with God, to be blameless among the people of our time. And it's holy fear that's the path to righteousness. Seeing who God is and believing what he says. Holy fear is the obedient response to a holy, loving God. It knows its place before God. It obeys what God says. It highlights the world's sin, and it's the path to righteousness, because the ultimate right response to God is trusting his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this incredible righteousness that you call us into. That by responding to you rightly, through holy fear to who you are and what you've done, we can be brought into this right standing before you, this perfect place. Absolute goodness is attributed to us, Lord. That is incredible, and we thank you. We thank you that Jesus made the way, and it's his righteousness that we inherit. Lord, work in us this holy fear so that it would work its way out in our lives, that we would witness to those around us, that we would obey the things that you say, that we would call others to you. Please work this fear in us, Lord. Help us to be ones who fear your holy name. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.